go share some further thoughts from Psalm 102. If you'll turn there this evening, 102nd Psalm. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Well, thank you, Brother John. Say it again. Amen. Glory to God. I know we may be few in number tonight, but God's with us. And that doesn't change the message. That doesn't change the nor the intensity with which it needs to be brought forth. I think many times the enemy cheats folks out. We let him cheat us out. My, the things that sometimes just come, sometimes it's unavoidable. But I will tell you that it seems there are so many things in our culture to distract, so many things in the schedule, so many things take place, and so much that's happening and going on. I understand sometimes it's certainly unavoidable, and sometimes it's not unavoidable. Amen. Sometimes it's not unavoidable, but it is... If we look and watch and commit, God will make a way. Amen. Let's turn to Psalm 102. Ask you to stand if you would. Psalm 102. I'd like to read that. If you can take just a moment. I want to read the entire psalm tonight because I'm going to focus again on that verse 14. But hopefully deal with some other thoughts from the passage itself. But I'd like to read the entire psalm. You'll notice the title says, A Prayer of the Afflicted When He is Overwhelmed and Poureth Out His Complaint Before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto Thee. Hide not Thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline Thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as a hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin, and I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping because of thine indignation and thy wrath. For thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. When the people are gathered together in the kingdom to serve the Lord, he weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, Oh my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established
before thee. Oh, hallelujah. Can you say amen to the reading of God's word? You may be seated this evening. Hallelujah. I'd like to talk a little bit more to you tonight by the help and grace of God on stones and dust. I shared with you Sunday morning from this passage, and there's some things here I wanted to continue to share with you. Again, I'd like to emphasize, if we look at that verse again, he talks about a renewal, a revival in Zion, a rebuilding that has come, a time for her again to experience the favor of God. And he says it's a set time and it's come. And one of the ways that he knows that it has come is that his servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. This becomes an obvious sign that if the people of God are moving back towards the things of God, that if the people of God are being drawn back to the foundation, they're being drawn back to their roots, then that's a sign that God is fixing to move and do wonderful, mighty things. If there's a stirring among the people, oh, glory to God. When there's a message that comes from the servant of God to stir the people, and hearts begin to get stirred and take it serious and begin to seek after God, then that becomes an obvious sign that God is fixing to move and do something and work whenever the servants of God take pleasure in the stones and the dust of Zion. We talked about those stones and what they indicate. Three things I mentioned to you on Sunday morning. And when you talk about the stones, and literally he was talking about the stones of the city there in Jerusalem, the wall, the temple, all about that. And no doubt had become in maybe a fallen state, but nevertheless, there are people coming back. I think about that time after the Babylonian captivity, that after 70 years in Babylon, there are people that have experienced prosperity in Babylon. They have grown, had families, they have grown businesses, and they have had prosperity, but they gave it up to go back to a barren and desolate land. They gave it up to go back to a life of hardship, if you will, and they left those places of comfort to go to a place where they have to build all over again. Where when that building of the temple and the building of the wall, they would have to build with a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. That would be a difficult time. Glory to God. And I would, and that's going to take it today, church. It's going to take a people who are willing to sacrifice some comfort to rebuild and do the work of God. I never have I seen the church in such a state of disrepair. Never have I seen the church in such a state of lethargy and such a state of foolishness that's taking place in the church world today. It doesn't matter, it seems, where it's at. I know there are people that are holding on. Thank God for them. But I'm telling you that this stuff is creeping into holiness churches. There are liberal mindsets, and little by little, because somebody gets prosperous, somebody gets a move of God, somebody gets a blessing from God, and souls are getting saved, or they get access into some arena and be able to minister the word of God where others cannot go. And it just seems like that pride is slipping in and it's destroying me. And I was talking to the Pastor Bowers today, and he was just sharing with me about a situation I'm not going to share, but just how that liberalism is creeping in, and it's happening all over in the holiness movement. And before we left, I looked at him and I told him, I said, I'm not going down that road. If I stay small, I stay small, but I am not going down that road. He said, in other words, we'll stick together, because I'm not going that way either. I am determined to preach this and to build on this foundation that has been tested and tried. I'd rather have a stone among the place where God dwells than I would to have all of the tents of wickedness. Somewhere we've got to get the vision. When you think about it, what a people who saw it. They were comfortable in Babylon. It was nice. It was easy. Everything was going good. They were being blessed. God had kept them and God had preserved them. God had told them, when they go there, you're getting 70 years, but he told them to go there and build houses. He told them he would keep them and preserve them. Have your children, have your grandchildren. I mean, 70 years, that's a lot of time. time to put down some roots, folks. That's a lot of time. There are children that have grown up in Babylon that have never seen the homeland. They've never been back to Jerusalem. They don't know the glory days of the temple. They don't know what it was like. They're Jews and they've been born and raised in the land of Babylon. But I'm telling you, the day comes that somebody remembers, but there's some stones back there. There's a man named Nehemiah says the wall is in disrepair. Ezra said the temple has fallen down. Daniel's praying, God, you said after 70 years you'd bring us back and bring us out. He gets thrown in the lion's den for his praying, but it doesn't matter. He keeps right on praying and keeps on seeking God. And God sends a group of people. Somebody got the vision and said, I'm going to leave my comforts. I'm going to leave the nice things of Babylon. I'm shutting down my business. I'm selling out and I'm going back and get a hold of a stone. I want a piece of the holy ground. I want a piece of the holy land where God dwells. Took their children where their children had never been. Some of them, no doubt, by this time, grandchildren, taking them where they've never been, back to a land and the children know nothing about. To them, it's a story. To them, it's just some kind of a history, but that's what it is. Those stones represented a history, and somebody remembered the history. Some of them, Zechariah talked about it, that even whenever they rebuilt the temple, they remembered the glory of the former temple and said, it ain't going no way. It's not in comparison. And God said, don't despise the day of small things. I'm able to make the glory of this one greater, of this one greater than it was before. It's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. You may look around and say, well, it's not as glorious as it was at Azusa Street. It's the same Holy Ghost. It's the same powerful God. We may not be but a few. It was but a few folks who went back to rebuild the land. But I'm telling you, they decided that to dig in the rubbish and rebuild the walls of the city is better than to have the finery of Babylon and to dwell in a place where God never wanted his people to be. God has blessed us. God has kept us. But I feel glory to the Lamb of God. I don't know where I might go with this tonight, but I feel like God is getting a hold of us and drawing us back and saying, again, we had to do it some years ago, 23 years ago, or 24 almost, but little around 23 years ago, 1992, we said we're not going any longer in the with the denomination we were in, the Church of God. It's going downhill. The handwriting is upon the wall. God has forsaken it and abandoned it. They're not. The leadership has no desire to follow the principles of God's word. We came out. It was so much that there were groups across the nation. They had to go back to meeting in storefronts. We met in a barn and had church. But somebody said, I'm not going to worry about whether I got nice pews to sit on. There's something that's more important to me than the influence of the culture. And that is the presence of God and the holiness of God. Oh, hallelujah. And I would again, we may be there again. God help us not to become complacent. God help us not to sit down and think we're just here to hold the fort till it comes. No, we've got to say, Lord, let us not get comfortable in our blessings that you've given us and the security with which you've given us. Let us be a people who are willing to go back and get a hold of the stones and the favor, the dust of the city of God.
Come on, amen. Yes, thank you.
The stones tell the history. You know, archaeologists can tell the history and learn much about a civilization just from the stones.
Right.
They'll dig under the dirt, dig the ground. They'll uncover the foundation. And by simply uncovering the foundation, they can determine it was a house. It was a place of worship. They unearth altars, they unearth living quarters and various things that they find. And simply from digging through the rubbish and by looking at the stones, they will tell the story of that people. And we will learn things about them, find out what kind of pots they cooked in, found out in some cases what kind of food they cooked, how they prepared their food, different things about it, maybe what kind of clothing they wear. There'll be inscriptions, things that are written in the stones, and you'll read those inscriptions things and learn things about the people. Names will come to the front. Glory to the Lamb of God. I'm talking about a history of a people in church. You and I have got a history tonight. We've got something to hold on to tonight and know that our God is with us. And there's something that you and I can get a hold of and rebuild. We didn't begin this thing today. This isn't something we're just beginning and starting over. This is something that's been tried and true from the beginning. As a history that goes back beyond yesterday. It goes back beyond my time. It goes beyond your time. It goes beyond the apostles' time. It goes back to Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There is our beginning. And there, God determined to have a man that would live holy and righteous and dwell upon this earth. The very history of that Bible is our history. You bear with me if I just preach it again. I don't know. Somewhere it's got to get in. I want God to stir us up. I never had this verse that just seemed like it kept rolling over me. The favor of the stones. Let's look again. There's nothing, I'll tell you, that will stir you up. I have to guard myself sometimes, but I get nostalgic. There's a book my wife has, and I read it just from time to time. But it's a book about the old days in terms of, it was about Christmases past and people and their and Christmas traditions and remembering times from the early 1900s and 1920s, 1930s. People across the nation that would just remember those simple times when they came together and they had just simple Christmases. Many times they didn't have anything. One lady talked about, she said, I remember the yellow boxes that we would get at Christmas time. And my mother would go down on the some few days before Christmas and go to the shoe store. And he would have her boxes there. They were shoe boxes. She said they were all as yellow. It must have been some kind of work shoe he sold or something. And bring them home. And those kids would, she would bake candies and have an orange and an apple. But that was their Christmas gift. They would get up and they would get a box. Each one child got a yellow box. Or every Christmas, that was all they got. That's all they could afford, if you will. There was a time of poverty in this nation. But I remember that. I'm telling you, there are things like that, people in this world and our culture today, they don't even have a clue about it. They don't have a clue about it, but not that's just a sense maybe from a secular standpoint, but it's still a sense of what this nation was, the very fabric and the core of this nation. There were people that would walk for miles to go to the house of God. Even then there were Methodists and Baptists. I'm talking about a time sometime maybe before even a Pentecostal move, but there were people who still honored God in this land. And God would work and do things. And I think about it. There's nothing that can stir you. I read those things and sometimes my mind just wants to go back and say, oh, I wish sometimes the times were simpler. I wish the schedule wasn't so always crammed, packed full. But I'm here to tell you, there's nothing that can stir you up by rethinking again about your history. Glory to God. Thinking about an old camp meeting where God came down and the Holy Ghost moved. Somebody got saved and delivered. Somebody got sanctified. Fight and filled with the Holy Ghost, it'll stir you up. We need to take pleasure in the stones and to favor the dust of the city. Glory to God. I'm telling you, to stir up those memories of your history can get you moving, can make you realize who you are, make you realize what your real purpose is for being here. And it's so easy in our world and our culture to get so caught up in the age and the spirit of the age in which we live that we forget all about yesterday. We forget all about where God's brought us from. And you get so caught up in the challenges that are coming our way against what we believe and who we are and what we stand for that it just seems like everything's new. And we're getting hit on so many fronts sometimes. We're doing our best just to stay alive. But our God was there in the fire. Our God was there at the Red Sea. Our God was the God at Pentecost. And that is our history. Our God was there with Martin Luther. Our God was there with John Calvin. Our God was there with John Wesley. Our God was there with George Whitefield. Our God was there with these men of yesteryear. And our God will be with us here. The years may come and go. The ages may come and go. But God is eternal. God is eternal. change. Glory to the Lord. Those stones represented labor. I talked to you about it. Forgive me, indulge me, whatever, for just saying, reminding us again. I know I preach Sunday morning, but it just stirs me tonight. Somebody worked to get us where we are today. But that work right now is in our hands.
Yeah.
You think about it. It's in Ezra, it's in Nehemiah, and they go back to that city. A generation of people that never even knew Solomon. They only know him from the books. That's it. Matter of fact, it's probably Ezra. As many, many think that he may have been the one that put the Chronicles together and put together a lot of the writings of the kings and brought them together in the form that we have them today. It may have been Ezra that did that. Because you realize the history of that nation. And any people that don't know the history and don't know where they come from will never know where they're going. I'm telling you that right now. I need to know where I'm going. And I need to know where I've been. And I need to know what God wants me to do in this hour. And you and I have got to have that. That there's a labor. And now the burden is on them. Solomon is dead. David is dead. Isaiah is gone. These men of God of the past are no longer. And now the burden falls. The mantle falls on an Ezra and on a Nehemiah, but they've got a work to do, and they do it 52 days, I believe. He built that wall and put it up, and he wouldn't let anybody deter him from it. He went in there and kept his focus and did the work of God and said, we're going to build this thing up. Don't worry about it. Build, 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 build. And they could accomplish the task by the grace of God. But he realized it's not just me. He wasn't inventing something new. He was rebuilding what had once been and should always be.
That's right, brother. Amen. Yes.
How are we going to answer for what we did with it in our time? This is what they handed us. This is what God's given us. This is where God placed us. What's going to be our response? Well, we got lazy. We got comfortable with the blessings and just let it die. We were unwilling to spend the time in prayer. We were unwilling to make the sacrifice to dig in. We were just content to go to church and have a few good services and never see much more than that. And after a while, there's a generation that raises up and says, if that's all there is to it, then I'm not interested in sticking around. It's more exciting somewhere else. I'm telling you, serving God was never meant to be dull. It was never meant to be boring. It was never meant to be something that was just a sense of ritual and ceremony. And that's all it is. You go do your traditional things and fall through your traditional ceremonies, and that's all there is to it. There isn't anybody, when they look out at that world, is going to stick with it in that regard when there's nothing real and tangible. No, there's got to be some life. There's got to be some Holy Ghost. There's got to be some connection to that thing. And I'm telling you, we've been handed this. It's our generation. It's our hour. And it's our time. And I say, let us labor. Let's get a hold of the stones and take pleasure in the stones that God has given to us. There was that business of the stone representing an order. I told you that. There's a reason those stones were placed in a certain way. And I would again that we could take pleasure, and that we could focus again on that order. Glory to God. I don't know. You may not be aware of it. I want to see if some things from time to time I come across them. Sometimes I, by whatever means, I just come into contact with some things that are going on in the general terms of Christianity. I don't try to go looking for it really unless I'm trying to study something and then I come across it. But I'm telling you, just what I see sickens me. It sickens me. I talked to, and I'm not saying this yay or nay, but I talked to Brother Emery this week, and they went by John Hagee's place in San Antonio, Texas on a Sunday. On a Sunday, they've got to shut down four lanes. They got to shut down an interstate, basically, or four-lane road every Sunday because of the traffic that leaves that place and exits it and comes in. Policemen out there every service. But yet I wonder, in that same state, look at the wickedness that's taken hold. I mean, look at the garbage that is going on. I mean, church, I know it's happening at a breakneck speed, but I wonder what would happen if, I don't know how many goes in there, 5, 6, 7,000 people. But take those 5, 6, and 7,000 people in that big city of San Antonio, Texas. But I'm thinking about 5,000 people, if they were full of the Holy Ghost and living holy lives. And my, if they filled that place with prayer, it would turn it upside down. San Antonio would shine a light so broad across the whole nation would see it. I'm telling you, every place would shut down. Don't tell me it wouldn't make a difference. And yet I don't want to throw a monkey just upon them. What difference can be made with 25 or 30 head right here in Washington, North Carolina, and bind together in the name of Jesus Christ and say, I'm going to dig through the rubbish and I'm going to build me a stone. I'm going to find a stone and build the wall again and build the church of Jesus Christ. My point is, they're drawing crowds and they're hearing tantalizing sermons, but that's as far as it's gone.
Right.
I'm telling you, there ain't nothing coming out of that mess.
Right.
Because if there was, they'd be turning that place upside down.
Amen.
I could not imagine with 5 or 6,000 people full of the power of God and a man preaching the word of God every few days, and not to have more than several pastors, that crowd of people that are proclaiming the gospel. I'm telling you, there ought to be a light. They had that many on the day, 3,000 the day of Pentecost, and before you know it, 5,000 men. And what they said about them is, these people, they may not have converted Jerusalem, but they turned that place upside down with their doctrine. And we don't hear that. No, nothing's getting turned upside down. All we're doing is going in and having fancy sermons and nice little services and say we go and look at all our buildings and look how we're blessed, and there's such greed and covetousness filling the place, filling with the likes of Creflo Dollar and that kind of mess that goes on, who are basking in their money and their wealth and their riches, and that's become mainstream Christianity. All we want is a gushy-ushy God that blesses us and makes us feel good and gives us blessings and loves everybody and never condemns sin and ungodliness. But I mean to tell you, that's why the stones have fallen down. That's why there's a pile of rubbish. But if we'll take pleasure in it again, God wants to work and rebuild. If you'll see a people that says, I don't want that sham, I don't want that farce, I want something real, I want what they had in the old days, glory to God, I want what these stones witnessed. I wasn't present. They could say it. I could see those young men and women working with their daddies as they built the wall. And maybe they could say, I wasn't present when the glory fell and Solomon dedicated this temple. I wasn't present when David brought the ark and rejoicing came into this city.
Right.
Woo, hallelujah.
Right.
But these stones were, glory to God, these stones were present. Oh, hallelujah. These stones were there. Oh, and I know one thing. It's not so much in the stone, but the stone, and I'm here and got my hand on that stone, says something, that there's a God in heaven. And the God that failed in is the same God that's here now. And he'll send a Haggai. He'll send a Malachi. He'll send a Zechariah. He'll send an Ezra. And a Nehemiah, he'll send a man of God along, and the glory of God will come again, and the Spirit of the Lord will fall. There will be a Messiah that is yet to come. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you.
For thy servants,
for thy servants take pleasure. That's all God's looking for. It's not thy priest, even thy prophets, though they're included in that sense. But the emphasis here is not on their position. The emphasis here is on their willingness to work.
Right.
Thy servants. Thy servants.
Right. Woo.
Hallelujah. Oh, we said it 22 years ago. We lost young preachers left and right because we had no fancy pulpits to give them. We had no fine, high salaries to offer them. We had no churches already established. We said, if you want to be a part of WPC, you're going to have to cut it out on your own. You're going to have to be willing to go sacrifice and go through the difficulty and go through the hardship of it. And oh, very few were willing to do that. Very few were willing. I'm telling you, even today, there are people across this nation that are well able to do so. But rather than pull up roots, rather than leave a nice paying job in order to have a Holy Ghost filled church, they'd rather have a dry church and a good job than a holy church and a dry job. I'd rather be paid less, even though I was in the company of the Holy Ghost filled people where the Spirit of God was moving. I'd rather have a place where I didn't have a nice home, but I had a people that loved God and wanted to build the church of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. We got our priorities all mixed up.
Amen.
God's calling this church again.
Yeah.
We got some digging to do. We need to grow. We need to build. We've lost some ground sometimes, maybe through no fault of our own in that regard. Sometimes it just happens. Things come. Lord takes people out, and he sometimes does that just to stir us up.
Oh, yeah.
Let us know where we're at. And hey, you need to lean on me. I'm your strength, not that person. I'm the hope of your church, not somebody else. Glory to God. But God wants to stir us up and tell us it's time for us to again get the idea we are nothing more than servants. That's all we are. Let's just be willing to be a servant. How about it, Nehemiah? You'll risk it all. You got that nice place in the cupbearer. I mean, you got you a place secure in the king's presence. But he said, I'd rather be back rebuilding the walls of my city. I have a heart that says my God needs to again, his glory needs to be displayed. I want my nation to rise out of the dust. Oh, I wonder yet what God could do in his people. The Lord is coming soon. We talk about it and we have a little time left, but what are we going to do with that little time? Are we just going to sit and let it go by and let the walls fall down further, or are we going to put our hands in that pile and get us a stone and put it back in place? Glory to the Lamb of God, and build this thing with the glory of God. When he comes, let him find us building with the stones of God.
Yes.
Your servants take pleasure in the stones and favor the dust. To take pleasures, when you take pleasure in something, it captivates you. Gets your attention, doesn't it? It becomes your focus.
Yes.
Becomes your delight. That's what it is. Whew, glory to the Lamb of God. Hear me something tonight, church. I know you might say, well, Brother Woods, that's good for other folks that aren't here. It's good for us. We're here.
Yes, sir.
God knew we'd be here tonight. And it's good for us. Even for this preacher, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We need. God's been stirring. God's been speaking. God's been talking to us. God wants to do something, but there is yet on our part a need for us to dig deeper. Need for us to push the commitment further. A need for us to make a deeper sacrifice, a deeper cut, to examine our lives and find out, are we maybe busy about some things that we don't need to be busy about? Are there maybe some things in our life that can be let go?
Come
so that we can focus elsewhere. Whatever it may be, I don't know, but I'm telling you right now that if you and I tonight in this place would begin to take pleasure in the stones and let it become our focus, can you really say, can we really say, the few of us that are even here this evening, that we can say in the last month or 2 months, I'm telling you, I've had a tremendous focus. I've been thinking much about the history. I've been thinking much about what God has done for us and what we need to happen in our church. I've been hungry for sinners to be saved. I've been hungry for God to do so. It's brought me to my knees more. It's brought me to a deeper humility. Can we say that? Or are we just coming to church as a matter of routine? And we come and it just, you know, we go through the routine. There's just so many things happening. I'm not trying to tell a bunch of folks are backslid. I'm just telling you, there's more we can do to take pleasure in the stones. There's something you and I can do tonight to make a difference and say, I'm going to go back. Hallelujah. I'm going to build again upon that old foundation. God, do something in me. Light a new fire in me and let me see again a move of the Holy Ghost. Glory to the Lamb of God. Let me quickly state this. What kind of man writes this? What kind of man made this statement? What kind of man made this observation? Three things I want to tell you about him. Number one, he's a man of prayer. Yeah. Listen to it. Listen to the first couple of verses of this psalm again. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thy ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. This is not a man that's new to prayer. This is a man that's had prayers answered. This is a man that's been in the ditch before. This is a man that has cried out before. You are never going to pray that kind of prayer unless you understand that God is a God that hears you when you get in that kind of situation. This man knows. He's a man that's been in the place where of affliction. He's been at death's door. He's been in the dark hour. He's been through the valley of the shadow of death. And he cries out and says, hear my prayer, O Lord. He knows the one that he is praying to. And that he's a God that hears and answers the cry of the brokenhearted. That he's a God that reaches down into the dust and lifts up his servant. Glory to God. He knows that what it is. And he said that God will come and he will answer the prayer. And I'm here to tell you that this man believes in prayer and he believes in a God that answers prayer. Do you and I really believe that if we'll go to God in prayer and ask him to do it, he will do it? Do we really believe tonight that if we'll bind together and call upon the name of the Lord, that he'll do something mighty for us again? As I said, it's the last days. Could God again, if it's but a few hours, if it's but a few days, could he shake this nation one last time and rock it with the move of the Holy Ghost that is genuine and true? Now you need to know something about these liberal movements. Liberal movements don't last long. Not in Christianity. Read the Bible. He talked about them in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said these resist the truth. They're like Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Yes. But he said they'll soon be discovered. Every time in that book you read it, yeah. Evil men, seducers, they'll wax worse and worse. Deceiving and being deceived. He said, you preach the word. Right. I'm going to tell you something. Read about Peter. And Peter talks about it. But he said, judgment will soon come. I'm telling you, because you see, whenever you join, I'm not talking about the Muslims, I'm talking about those in Christianity. When you started out on the right road, if you're a Thyatiran church, if you're an Ephesian church, if you're a Smyrna church, if you're a Sardis church or whatever it may be, I'm here to tell you, Jesus judges his church. And liberalism doesn't last forever. We can point back to the monuments. You can go back to the time out of the charismatic movement. You can go to Los Angeles, California. And I, right now the name escapes me, but This woman became real prominent, built this huge tabernacle. I think it was there in Los Angeles, California. But nevertheless, as you see her there and all this big finery and had all this stuff that come in. And I'm here to tell you something. God brings that stuff down. We had men, they built it up. Oh, you remember the big PTL clubs and they got amusement parks. They're dead. I'm telling you, that mess has died and it's gone today. The hand of judgment has fallen upon it. And you don't need to think what's going on today is going to get by. It isn't going to last. It isn't going to be worth anything. And any kind of problem comes to this nation, they're going to see how shallow and empty all of that is. And those big edifices, they ain't going to have four lanes of traffic leaving them. They're going to shut the doors because they're not going to have anything coming because it's dead and it's empty and it's barren. But give me a place where the water of life flows. Give me a place where the Holy Ghost is real and we can see a move of God. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. I don't want the artificial. I don't want the fake. I want the genuine power of God. God can make a difference. And that's never happened apart from His people praying. Second thing I'll tell you about this man is a man of passion. Read how he describes his condition. His days are consumed like smoke. You know how long smoke lasts, don't you? It's sucked up into the atmosphere and gone in a little while. He says, burned like a hearth or like ashes. Just nothing. My heart is smitten. Withered like grass, my bones cleave to my skin. What descriptive language. He can hardly eat. Emaciated like a pelican in the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I'll just simply say this. The sign of strength and victory is the eagle. Man, there's no talk about an eagle here. An old fish known for throwing up junk. An old pelican, ain't nothing nastier. An owl. An old lone owl hooting. In the middle of the night in the desert. That's all you've got to hoot. In the middle of the desert in a barren land. Ain't got nothing. Where is the eagle spreading its wings that can fly high? Nothing here but an old pelican. Can't even fly very high. And an owl hovering, sitting on a limb looking for a rodent or something to get a hold of. And then he talks about, I watch as a sparrow alone on the housetop. Here it is. I feel like I'm a loner. I'm trying to watch out. I'm trying to see things. And I just sit alone. Nobody around me. No support. I mean, listen to the man as he talks about it. His enemies reproach him. He talks about how lonely and the loneliness that he's endured. They're mad at me. They turn against me. I've eaten ashes like bread, he said, and mingled my drink with the weeping. I mean, he cries. Even at dinner time, it isn't much. And he talks about the indignation of God that has come upon him. His days are like a shadow that declines. It'd be enough to have your days like a shadow, but a shadow that's declining, I'm telling you, that's a double whammy, if I can put it that way. I mean, in other words, the life is going out. And he mentions later, he said, the Lord, in verse 23, has weakened my strength in the way. What strength I did have, God has taken that away too. What power that I had, God has done that and shortened my days. I'm telling you, I'm at the end of it. But I know, he said, I am temporal. My life is fading. But he said something. Notice the contrast in verse 12. In verse 11, he said, my days are like a shadow that is declining. I'm withered like the grass. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever. Hallelujah. And thy remembrance unto all generations. I'm telling you, we may pass away and fade, but God is not going to fade. And maybe I can lay a stone that the next generation will be here and get a hold of God. Oh, mighty hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
But a man of passion, a man of passion, first of all, such descriptive levels. There's how he describes his life. This man is passionate about what he feels. He wants the revival of his nation.
He wants the revival of his religion and the worship and his people. He wants them restored. And I'm telling you right now, you don't get where this man was and talk about having this kind of a life where you stand alone, you're watching, you're in the desert, you're not soaring like an eagle, you're walking around like a pelican. I mean, you're not out there, you know, soaring with the flock, you're a lone sparrow on a housetop. I mean, you're not out there in the finery, your meat has become ashes and your life is like a smoke, you can see it fading away. I'm here to tell you, that's a man that's in the grip of something. That's a man that's under the grip of an almighty God and a work and a cause and a purpose. God's got to get us in his grip again. We've got to become passionate about what we're doing. Forget the world who thinks we're crazy and emotional. Let's get some emotions. I hear about a man who says his heart is smitten. He is emotional. He is crying out to God. He's weeping and he's seeking God. Almighty.
Amen. Glory to God. Yeah. Hallelujah.
You know what? When you got some passion, you'll take some initiative. We sit around and wait to be stirred. We sit around and wait for someone to spur us on. We wait for somebody to organize something. Mm-hmm. This man didn't have anybody to organize anything.
Yeah, right.
He had a dying passion. Mm-hmm. I got to see something here. I got to see something done. So I'm going to pray and cry out to God. And the third thing I want to tell you is that he's a man of principle. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something right now. Ain't no man going to stick and go through what that man's going through. Right. Unless he's got some convictions in his heart.
Brother.
He's got some beliefs.
Yeah.
He's got some things he's holding on to. This day is separating out who believes what and who why they believe it. Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you, these days are going to tell if you really believe holiness or not. These days are going to tell if you really believe in Holy Ghost baptism or not. These days are going to tell if you really believe in the truths of that book or you're willing to fudge on them. Because if you're willing to fudge, you're going to get your opportunity to do so in this hour. If you're willing to compromise the truth, the devil's going to present you a scenario that will allow you to do it. And you will seem to be able that you're going to get further along if you compromise. But we've got to have some men of principle. I appreciate reading in the news today at a man, Judge Roy Moore. God bless him. He stood up and said, you know, hey, we're not going to do it. We're not going to follow the Supreme Court. We're not going to go down that road. And he said, you might laugh at that. People might say that's going too far. I say, God, give us a man who's got some conviction. God, give us somebody who's got some principle. We're going to make our neighbors mad. The church world's going to think we're nuts. There's going to be people in this very church that's going to think we're going too far. But I say, let's stand. Why? Because I got some stones. I got some stones and I'm going to build. Glory to the Lamb of God. And when this liberal generation is dead and gone, those stones will be there to the glory of God forevermore. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. Amen.
I get to be allowed to participate in building, but I'm not the preserver of it. I'm not the one that brings life and activity in the midst of those stones. Glory to God. And so I bring you back to this. It becomes a central message. And I'm going to close right here. It becomes a central message of this psalm. Everything is going to fade.
Yep.
Except God.
Right.
And I'll tell you why the church won't fade. Because it is connected to God.
Amen.
It is the body of Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes.
I was reminded today as I begin reading again through Matthew. I had written a note long some time back that I had forgotten about it. And I thought about all of the history of bringing Jesus Christ up to the time in which Jesus would be born. And all of the time that the devil tried to destroy the seed of Abraham and the seed of David. He tried to wipe out the Jewish nation again and again. He tried to destroy the seed royal again and again. But I'm telling you, when the time came, Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Hallelujah. He is son of David and son of Abraham.
Abraham. But in A.D. 70, after the Savior has come and died and went to the right hand of the Father, Vespasian, the emperor of Rome, he went throughout Rome after he had destroyed the city, the city of Jerusalem. Then he goes and makes a declaration that all of the seed and descendants of David are to be destroyed. Some years later, Domitian is doing the same thing. He gave the same order. All the seed and descendants of David must be destroyed. I got news for you. It doesn't matter anymore. Woo! Glory to God. I got news for you. You can destroy every one of them, but there's one that's already made it, and you can't reach it. He sits at the right hand of God. He is the son of David, and he will sit on the throne of his father David, and he will rule. He will reign. He will come again. He will come again. He will come again. He's done came too late. You can't put him down. He already went to the grave and conquered it, and he lives forevermore. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah! God. Come on, stand to your feet right now. Glory to God. Let me tell you, the day may come. The day may come they're going to lay this old preacher and lay him down, put him 6 foot under, and put the headstone. And one of these young buckaroos around here will preach my funeral and talk about the days of past. My history may be gone and forgotten, but I'm going to tell you the history of the church will never be forgotten, because it belongs in the hand of an eternal God. And that's what the psalmist said. I'm passing away. My life is fading. Lord, the earth is fading. It's coming to a place you're going to burn it up. You're going to wrap it up like a garment. You're going to fold it up, but you will never fade. You will never pass away. Your years will never end. Our God will never shut down when the liberals are dead and gone. When all of the liberals and secular humanists are dead and gone, God will still be on the throne.
Amen.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
I thought of her name, Amy Simple McPherson. Yeah. She's dead. The God of holiness is still alive.
Right.
Woo, hallelujah.
Right.
I'm telling you, Benny Hinn's getting old. Yeah. Ain't Paul Crouch is already gone.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on.
Right.
Oh, that crowd's getting old. They get gray hairs. That mess will die. It'll go into the dirt. But I'm here to tell you, there's somebody at the right hand of the throne that's still alive and well. Glory to God. His head and hair are white like snow. His eyes are like a flame of fire. He's girded about the paps of the golden girdle. And he's coming again. He's coming again. He's coming again. He'll outlast every philosopher. He'll outlast every doctrine. He'll outlast it all. Glory. Shh. Woo. Shoo. Not the hey, Shaka. Oh, glory! Hallelujah! Woo!
Hallelujah.
By
the help and grace of God, I feel it coming. I've been preaching this, and God keeps bringing me back to it. It keeps coming from different angles. Oh, glory to God. We're going to have a harvest. I don't know how big it is. It doesn't matter. It only matters that God is faithful. It only matters God's going to bring in the ones He's going to bring in, church. Yes. Glory to God. Yes. But you got to know something. There comes a time when God says enough is enough. There comes a time when God says, my people have been through it. The captivity didn't last forever. 70 years, Brother John. 70 years. It might have seemed like an eternity, but it wasn't an eternity. We've been here 22 years now. But I'm telling you, we have just begun. And the rock has gotten harder. It looks like it's gotten colder. But I'm here to tell you, there's a fire that's eternal. There's a fire that doesn't go out. And it is at the right hand of God Almighty. And God's ready to send that fire again. If He can find a people that'll take pleasure in the stones and favor the dust thereof. How about it, church? Will you say, I'll take the stone of the church more than all the palaces of the world? I'd rather have the discomforts of the people of God and the comforts of the wicked in the world. I'd rather be with the children of the Lord, a doorkeeper in the house of my God, than to dwell in the tents of wickedness.
Yes.
God is not coming to revive liberal churches. You hear me? He is not coming to revive those denominations. You can take offense at me if you want. From the Church of God, the Assemblies of God, their history.
Right. It's the truth.
Their history. And if we don't see a move of God, they'll write our name.
Right. Amen.
Same place.
That is.
I'm going to tell you right now, they've done, God's done turned them loose. Oh, there may be a few folks that's hanging on. But they've got folks hanging on thinking they're going to revive that mess. You ain't going to revive it. It's gone.
Right.
It's gone.
Right.
Oh, hallelujah. I tell you what God's going to revive. He's going to revive where the stones are at.
Right.
You see, they've left the stones. Uh-huh. They've left the foundation. Amen. They build on a new foundation.
Right.
And oh, I'm telling you, they're not building on the right foundation.
No.
And the storms are coming. And their house is going to fall.
Right.
And great's going to be the fall of it.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, if you're on the right foundation, it may seem like there have been a few stones that's crumbled. It may seem like there's some rubbish around.
Right.
But you dig on in, glory to God. You build your house. You build on the house.
Right.
You build on the rock, Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, take pleasure in what God has given us, and we will see a move of God. Glory to God. Oh God, help me tonight. Help me tonight. Help me tonight, Lord. Woo, glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, whatever you want. Whatever you want, God. How many of you stand with me tonight? I mean it, church. Pray for this preacher. Lord, will you help Brother Woods? Will you sustain him? Will you give him a word? Will you help him to preach what we need? And will you help us to hear what he preaches? And will you help us to dig in, Lord, and to do whatever we need to do, please. I know it ain't going to be easy. There's going to be cuts and bruises. There's going to be some back-breaking work.
Yes.
Oh, God, help us. We can't do it if you don't help us, Lord. We can't do it, Lord and God. Oh, but I'm telling you, if there'll just be some folks who'll take that step. The Bible said He gave my heart to work. He gave my heart to work, right. Brother John. That's what He did. And God can do it. You go back and sometimes you look at it. And when you look at it, it looks impossible. You look at it and say, there ain't no way that it can rise again. There ain't no way that we can see a move of God. There ain't no way that this place can be filled up. It looks overwhelming. I know it. But if you just stick your hand in that pile and just start a stone at a time. The brother said, if I can win one family this year, if you build one stone at a time, you are living stones. You are living stones. We're a spiritual house, glory to God. And let's build it one stone at a time.
That's right. Thank God. Amen.
How many will do it? How many will commit? Right here tonight, we got enough. In other words, I will. I'm going to do something different. I don't know. I know I've been here before. I know I've dug in before. I know we've had challenges. I know it seems like we get so far and then we struggle with it. I don't know. I don't know about all of that. That's happened, maybe so. But we're here now, and God's given us an opportunity, and God's talking to us and telling us that He wants to move among His people. He's bringing, there's a set time. There's a time. God's got to get us where we need to be, church. God's got to get us where we need to be. Is He looking? Is there a people tonight? It'll be His servants in favor of the stones and take pleasure in the stones in favor of the dust thereof. That's what we're looking for. If I can hear your testimony, I've been praying and God's been answering my prayer. I've been seeking God and God's been giving me a passion for the souls of men. That's music to my ears. It means God's fixing to move. Hallelujah. Come on, come stand. Come on, let's bind together again tonight. Come on, let's bind together in the name of Jesus right here. Come on, let's bind together tonight. Ask God.